Today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Dalet. And we got up to the question of the size of an amma. So we began with the shita that says that there's actually two different types of amot. One of them is an amma bat chamisha, and one of them is an amma bat shisha. And depending where we go l'chumra, we would go whatever, the amma takes us l'chumra. So where we're talking about kilayim, where we're dealing with the amount of space that we need to evacuate in order to have room to plant something else, we will go l'chumra. So there the amma is bat shisha. But where we're talking about the size of the mavui, how high can you put up the korah? How tall can your sukkah be up until the schach? There we have to go l'chumra. And there esrim amot would be esrim amot of only 5 tvachim apiece. So this was, tremendous chiddush. However, it turns out that it's really a big machlokas. And that, in fact, there is a completely different shita, and that's Rova shita, according to which, on the way to understand Reb Nachman, the first shita was a bias shita in Reb Nachman. Rova shita in Reb Nachman is there is a difference, but the difference is not between an amma of 5 tvachim and 6 tvachim. The difference is between the amma that is called the happy amma and the miserable amma. So the happy laughing amma is an amma in which either the space between the etzbaot is not pressed in tightly, or the space between the various fists of the tvachim is not pressed in tightly. That's a machlokas. And the unhappy amma is where you're feeling very tight, so to speak. It's a tight-fisted amma, and that tight-fisted amma is slightly smaller, and that would be the difference. We would go l'chumra when it would come to the case of the sukkah, or the case of the mavui, would go l'chumra, and it would have to be a tight-fisted amma. And when it came to the question of the kilayim, it would have to be the loose amma, because over there we're trying to get the biggest size. So let's start again from the last line on Gimel Amud Beis. So asks the Gemara Meitvei, Kol amot shamru chachamim ba'amma bat shisha. Here it says beferush in the Braita that every single amma that the chachamim ever spoke about was always an amma of 6 tvachim. Yikes. The only difference is, ubelvad shelo yiyu mechuvanot. Important thing is that they shouldn't be all precisely the exact size. So now what would that mean? So according to Rava, that makes a heck of a lot of sense. In other words, it means, yes, all amot are 6, and depending on the context, sometimes they shouldn't be all the same. Sometimes they're happy, and sometimes they're sad. So that would mean, ki echad alav en halalu sochakot valalu atzuvot. That's what you mean by not exactly. But according to Abaya, it says openly, all amot are 6. And Abaya said, that's not true, according to Reb Nachman. And most amot are actually 5 tvachim. So Labaya Kasha, Amalach Abaya, what this bright actually means is not all amot that the Chachomim ever spoke about. It was all the amot that the Chachomim spoke about in the sugya of Kilayim is what it meant. Those are all bat shisha. And bilvat shalol yuhu mitzum tzamot means don't make them very tight and exact amot, make them loose amot, because after all, we need to be machmir by the kilayim to go even a step beyond. Not only are they 6 tvachim, but they're 6 wider tvachim. Fine? That's the way he would read it. Is that really possible? Asked the Gemara. Could you just please read ahead? It says, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, kol amot she'amru chachamim b'kilayim. B'ama b'tshisha, for heaven's sake, said, I don't get it. So what are you saying? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says what you said, but obviously the chachamim are disagreeing. The chachamim are saying, all amot all over the Torah are 6. It's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no, only the amot of kilayim. As long as they are considered to be a little bit also loose, but that implies that the Tanakhama really and truly meant kol amot, including sukkah and mavui. Okay, fine. Let's even say that's true. Look, you admit that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is saying word for word what I said. So what's your problem? I was going that, I mean, I understood that when Reb Nachman said his shita, it was according to the shita of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel among the Tanoim. So that would mean that according to Abaye, we have no choice but to read that it's a machlokas Tanoim here. But what about according to Rava? According to Rava, are we forced to say that there's a machlokas Tanoim, or did the Chachomim mean something else? Indeed. In other words, when Reb Shimon ben Gamliel comes along and he says, six tvachim is be'amash ha'kelayim, he didn't mean to say that six tvachim is only true by the amash ha'kelayim. He meant something else. So what would that be? Amar l'charava, I don't believe that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachomim were arguing about this business about five or six. All that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was trying to do over here was to clarify what the Chachomim meant, because the Chachomim said all amot are b'shisha, and sometimes it's one way, shoyim u'chuvanot, sometimes happy amot, and sometimes tight amot, right? So Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, okay, but you never said what's what, did you? So I'm going to help you understand, so let me explain the Chachomim to you. And that is that the amat kilayim, that's the one that you should not be mitzamtzem. Don't make that very tight. Make that as big an arm as you possibly can in order to be machmir. Rava, I mean, if that's what he was trying to say, then that's what he should have said. He should have just said, amat kilayim lo yitzamtzem. Why did he bring up against the ama of kilayim is shisha? We weren't talking about that. Obviously, it's b'shisha. You're saying nobody's even discussing the question of shisha or chamisha, right? You're saying he's only coming to clarify that when we say that it should not be mechuvan, and you didn't tell me which, the one that should be loose is the kilayim one. So it's absurd to repeat, and kilayim is an ama bat shisha, b'vachalim. Of course it's an ama bat shisha. So what that implies is that, in fact, there is a machlokas about whether it's an ama bat shisha or ama bat chamisha, and therefore, Rava should admit at least that there is a shita that does hold, that there are amot that are meant to be only ama bat chamisha, and that's the shita of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and he's learning that only kelayim are shisha. No, says Rava, absolutely not. The point over here is, why does it say ba'ama ba'chisha l'mu'utei mai? I mean, I'm assuming it meant l'mu'utei amasukah and amasmovai. No, says Rava. L'mu'utei ama yisod v'amas sovev. Remember that the lashon of here was all of the amot she'amru chachamim. But the chachamim is one thing. But after all, the measurement of the mizbeach, now that is a measurement that's given in Yechezkel, right? And it's mentioned in the Torah. The details are mentioned in Yechezkel that tell us that there, in fact, there is a different kind of ama. It's just amazing that in Erevin is where we get to the details of the binyan of the Mishkan and the Kelim. So, you know, up until now, we were only talking about the Krashim and the Yeriot and how it is that we would carry things and so on. Now we got to figure out also what the sizes of the various Kelim. And of course, if you remember your Masechet Sukkah, that's exactly the way Masechet Sukkah begins, because we needed, just like we do over here, to define the nature of what is considered to be the mechitza, and what is considered to be a reshus, the asarat tefachim, and the minimum mechitza, and so on and so forth. So we're going to go through this again over here. And therefore, this is a sneaky way in beginning to discuss what's the size of the amah, and so on. We finally get to an understanding of the nature of the kelim of the Mishkan and the dinim of mechitzas, which will lead us directly into the same sugya that led us in Sukkah, of course, which is what's the mokar of the various shiurim and chatzitzin and mechitzin and so on. So we understand where we're going, and as long as we keep our minds on the multi-leveled structure, everything just flows very naturally, and you could predict exactly what we're going to be dealing with. So now that we found our excuse to be dealing about what the size is of the Mizbeach and the Mizbeach HaZahav, and that brings us to the Mizbeach and the Kaporet, which of course together would equal ten Tvachim, which would be the shear of a Mechitza and so on, which is where we're headed. So now we're getting into what is the size of the Amma, the particular Amma of the Sovev and the Yesod. Now, you'll recall that the Yesod is the one Amahai base around that goes around the Mizbeach. It doesn't go all the way around because it doesn't penetrate into the Rishus of Shevet Yehuda. It only goes around the area that was by Shevet Binyamin, because that's the Chalkoshel Toref, and the Damim have to come down to the Yisod. However, virtually speaking, and in terms of the way that we make the Mizbeach in the first place, where we build a mold that we can make a Mizbeach in, which really does have an actual Amasove, then we put something, Yisod rather, we put in something to make sure that it doesn't actually build there. But the point is that that goes up one Amah from the ground, and then it goes in one Amah horizontally. The Amah that it goes up, as opposed to the Amah that it goes in, the Amah that it goes up is a small Amah, which is made out of Chamisha Tvachim instead of Shisha. Then the Mizbeach goes up to its point, where the Yesod is. The midpoint, it's not really the midpoint because of the Kronos, but towards the midpoint, and I'm away from the real midpoint. And that area, again, will go in an additional Amma. The going in of that Amma is actually one Amma of Chamisha Tvachim, as opposed to the going in of the Yesod, which is Shisha Tvachim. So keep in mind that when you're talking about the Amma of the Sovev, which is the four Amas above the Yesod, those are normal Amas that we count up to the point where it goes in an Amah on all sides. And there, the ingoing part is Chamisha Tvachim, as opposed to the Yesod, where the vertical part is an Amah Bas Chamisha Tvachim, the horizontal part is a normal Amah Bas Shisha Tvachim. Okay, so once we get that straight, we'll be able to understand what it is that the Pasuk in Yecheskel is about, because boy, is it confusing. So, how do I know, says Rava, that it would be necessary for me to tell you that although all Amot that we talk about are Amot Bat Shisha, says Rav Shmuel, you got to keep in mind that it's all very nice where we're talking about things like Kelayim, of course, including Mavui and Sukkah. But where you're talking about the Mizbeach, there you have a special situation in which there are some of the Amot that are measured in Chamisha Tvachim. And how do I know that? Because take a look at the strange pasuk in Yecheskel. It's like a classic Yecheskel-type language in which nothing seems to make very much sense. Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach ba'amot. Okay, so far so good. The following are the way you'd measure the mizbeach in amot. But I need to clarify to you, it ain't just plain amot. It's ama ve'tofach, okay? And then you better add the cheka ama. And then you better add an Amah Rochav. And then you better get to the Gvulal Svata Saviv, one Zeret. You got that? Absolutely clear, isn't it? Ze Gav HaMizbeach. This is exactly the way that you wonder why it is that we weren't able to figure out what the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to look like by following the Psukim in Yecheskel. This is a very nice example. But once you start taking it apart, it begins to make sense. So Rashi's approach, which subsequently Rashi apparently rejected, and there's Haggah here in Rashi that brings the alternative. And not only that, but as Tosis points out, Rashi in Yecheskel does not say what he says here. But it doesn't really matter because it's just a slight adjustment. So the way to understand it would be, Ve'ele midot ha-mizbeach be'amot, what kind of amot? Ah, amot of an amah, which in order to be a normal Amah would have required an Amah plus an additional Tefach. So in other words, I am giving you the measurements of these particular parts of the Mizbeach in Amot, which are actually similar to normal Amot if you add a Tefach. So Ba'amah, which then could be an Amah of a Tefach. Where do these particular Amot apply? Well, they apply to the Chek, which is Yesod, that's one Amah. They apply to the Rochav, which is the, and this is the difference, you see, because the Chek is referring to the vertical Chek, and then the Rochav, which is the width, is referring to the Sovev, which is the way in which it goes in an Amah all around to create that ledge all around the Mizbeach, which is called the Sovev. So that is also in one of these, measured in one of these special kind of Amot, of which only an Amah plus a Tefach would have equaled a standard Amah, meaning it too is measured in a 5 Tefach Amah. And the Gvulah El Svata Saviv. Now, all around the edge of the Mizbeach, right at the far edges. What is at the far edges of the Mizbeach? The Kronot HaMizbeach. If you recognize that those are squares, then in order to clarify, and this is something that is done throughout Yechezkel, the entire measurement of the top of the Mizbeach is measured in squares. So we take four squares in order to get the full size of the Mizbeach, as we did when we analyzed it in Zvachim and in Menachas. So the idea over here is that a square we measure from the midpoint. The midpoint of the square of the Kronot is one zeret, which is a half an amma. So in other words, if you put your finger on the midpoint and you stretch all the way with the zeret to the end of the keren in all four directions, you will measure a zeret, which is telling me that the keren is also an amma squared of smaller amma, so that it too would be 5 by 5 tvachim. Fine. So that would be one way of learning the pasuk. Now, the Targum Yonatan is clearly not mashma that way, and the Rashi, as I mentioned to you, in Yechezkel does not learn it that way. And over here, if you see the Haggah in the middle of the Rashi, the midline Rashi, there's a Haggah. So it explains why this pshat goes against the Targum Yonatan, and it is not really the proper way to understand it, as Rashi himself ends up explaining. And therefore, the main problem with the pshat is the vav in the word v'chek. As you could see, there's no way to make sense out of that v'chek. Because the v'chek, the way Rashi is learning it, I first give you the measurements of an amma. What type of an amma? An amma of an amma, which is an amma v'tefach, to be a normal amma. And the chek. What do you mean, and the chek? Now start telling me what the things you're measuring with that ammas are. A, the chek, which is the yesod. Okay. B, the rochav. Okay. Which is the sovev. C, the gvula saviv. What's the chek? That's crazy. And therefore, because of that, it seems to be exactly the opposite. So that what we're saying is, in fact, first above all of the psukim had given a long description of the size of the Mizbeach. And there it says the Ariel, Shtemisrei Amma, and so on and so forth. So that's the whole big Mizbeach, right? So the way that Rashi understands there and the other Rishonim understand here is all of the above Amot are Amot, which would be 5 plus one additional Tefach. Those are full amot of amma plus in the amma of amma v'tefach. Okay. But there are other amot which are meant to be used elsewhere. And where is that? Oh, and as far as the chek is concerned and the rochav is concerned and the gvula saviv is concerned, those are not in those one amma plus a tefach. Those are in the plain old amma without the tefach, meaning 5. So it boils down to the same thing. It's just a question as to whether the measurement of amma, amma v'tefach is meant to say in amot, which would have required one of themselves plus an additional tefach, which you must admit is a bit awkward, or whether it's simply saying in the standard amma, which equals an amma v'tefach of the weird amot that I'm about to tell you where they would apply, as opposed to the amot that we've been talking about until now, which measures the Ariel, Shtemisrei Amot, and so on. Okay? So that's all. It's really quite straightforward, it turns out, in the end. So even though they sound absolutely wild. And that would be the way to understand that the Torah is going out of its way to tell us, even though all of the amot that the Chachamim spoke about were standard 6 tvachim amot, there are other amot that are 5 tvachim amot, and those are used only in measuring the Mizbeach so far. We'll see whether they apply also to other kelim in a moment. So let's just read that inside. So that would be the Eila Midot HaMizbeach. I'm measuring the Mizbeach in Amot of an Amma, Amma v'tefach. And again, according to Rashi, I'm applying that special measurement of 5 Tvachim Amma to the Chek Amma, the Amma of the Rochav, the Gvula El Svata Saviv is 1 Zeret Echad, and that is the top of the Mizbeach. So what is that referring to? Okay, Chek Amma, that's the Yesod. Amma Rochav, obviously referring to the horizontal part, that refers to the Sovev. Gvula el Svata Saviv refers to what's at the extremes on top. That's the Kranot. And then why say Ze Gava Mizbeach? We haven't been talking about the Gava Mizbeach until now. Ah, this is a different Mizbeach. Ze Gava Mizbeach refers to the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's the point. And that means that not only do these five Tvachim Amas apply to the Mizbeach HaChitzon in these special places, but also the idea of the Mizbeach HaZov is to be measured in the Amma that it says over there, is an Amma Bat Chamisha Tvachim. We learn that from Yechezkel. Omer Rav Chiya Barashi, Omer Rav. I mean, once we're already on this issue of the Amot and everything else, I mean, you need to know that all of these Shiurim, plus all of the dinim of mechitzas and of chatzitzas when it comes to tefillah, plus all of the dinim of how you make a mechitza, all of these things are actually halacha l'moshe miSinai, and therefore these are just like remuzim to these particular cases, but the general halachas are halacha l'moshe miSinai. What? I thought shiurim are definitely a d'oraita. I mean, don't we have that famous drasha that we've had so many times that we are so used to looking at all of these shivas haminim, and each one of them is a reference to some shiur in the Torah. Eretz chita u'sa'ira, v'gefen u'te'inav rimon, eretz zeit shemen u'dvash, even though those seem to be nothing but peirot, but as we've seen, the peirot of Eretz Yisrael are the actual sheresh of the mitzvahs and the dinim that will apply to what it is, how it is that we live in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, each one of them, Amr of Chanan, Kol HaPasuk HaZeh, is a reference to Shiurim. Let's go through them one at a time. Eretz Chita Usora. What is the Chita? The Chita is coming to tell me the shir of the following Mishnah in Negoim. Hanichnas lebayit hamenuga. Again, something that we've spoken about so many times. Somebody walks into a home that has tzora'at, and he is carrying his clothes. He is carrying his rings. He's carrying his shoes. The guy just came in from the mikveh, and he's not wearing his clothes. He's holding his clothes. The din over there is anything that is nichnas el habayit, fine. That this is a nichnas el habayit, and they become tamei immediately. But suppose a guy walks into a house that has tzoras, and he's wearing his clothes, and he's got his shoes on his feet, and he's got his rings on his fingers. Now, there it's a completely different idea, because these things are not called haba el habayit. They're covered by a totally different pasuk, which is the ha'ochel babayit yichabeset begadav. Somebody who eats in the house, he has to wash his clothing. That means that simply bringing in the clothing into the house, which if he's wearing them, they would have no choice but to be dragged into the house with him, right? Nonetheless, the pasuk says only if he eats in the house are those things going to become tamei. So clearly, there is a difference between something that has its own identity, which a pair of shoes in your hands has, as opposed to being something which is secondary to your body, which is shoes on your feet. So there's two completely different dinim. That din of them only becoming tamei if he eats in the house, that we learn out does not mean literally eat in the house. It means to be in the house as long as it would take to eat in the house. But eat what in the house? Ah, that's where the pasuk comes in. We're going to be talking about Achilat Pras, of course, for the simple reason that Achilat Pras would be the shear of Erevin, of all funny things. So this, whatever that shear of Achilat Pras is, how do we estimate how long it takes to eat that Achilat Pras? Well, first of all, make it out of wheat. If you're going to be eating other types of breads, they're a little bit more difficult to chew than wheat bread. So wheat bread is going to be your simplest bread to eat quickly. And not the kind of eating when you're working at your computer screen and you eat something, you put it down, and then you work for the screen for a few minutes, and then you pick it up again, and you're walking around the house. That's not how normal people eat, okay? So when we're talking about eating, we mean eating by sitting down like a mensch and resting back on your little couch that you have by your table, which, of course, every normal civilized human being would have. So you would be mesav. And we don't mean just eating a plain piece of bread like you're on some kind of insane diet. We mean bread like a mensch, you know, with good stuff on it, maybe some hummus or some, but a dip, some type of lift on with your bread. That makes it easier to eat. You're concentrating on your food. That's how to estimate the shear. But anyway, all of that we see in the word chita. Okay, so that's the first shear. Is chita, pat chitin, not pat saurin, mesav, ochel, beliftan, fine. What's the next word in the pasuk? Well, the next to the shivas haminim is saora. What's that about? Ah, that's about an etzem, the size of a saora, is metame b'maga u'b'masa, but it's not metame b'ohel. Okay, what's the next word? The next word is the gefen. What do we learn about the gefen? The Geffen gives us the shear for a Nazir. Now, the simple way of reading this is that a Nazir who drinks a revius of Yayin is Chayev, which is a little bit silly because, I mean, all of the shearim that we're talking about over here are standards for other things. They're not telling you the shear of the thing itself. I mean, obviously, the Nazir is Usser and Yayin, so what's the big deal? Therefore, Rashi elsewhere explains that the Inyan, as Tosis brings over here, the Inyan is surface tension. And that the halacha revolves around the din, that even the solid items that a nazir is not allowed to eat are measured, surprisingly, by displacement of a revius yayin. And therefore, the difference between how much yayin will be displaced as opposed to how much water will be displaced because of the difference in surface tension is precisely what the pasuk is referring to. And therefore, it is indeed a standard. It's not talking about the drinking of wine. It's talking about eating the shear of the displaced wine when it comes to the other isurim of a nazir. Brilliant. Okay, so then it fits in directly into the list of standards. What's the next of the shivas haminim? The te'ina. So the te'ina is a fig. We know about that because all of the hotza out of Shabbos when it comes to eating, all of those foods are kegro geret lotza'at Shabbat. That's great. What's the rimon? Ah, the rimon is referring to the Mishnah in Kalim, of course. Kol klei ba'alei batim, the shiurim is kerimonim, as we had back in Shabbos many times. And a little bit of a question whether that means automatically it's kerimonim. As Tosis explains over here, this is only the Mishnah in Kalim Lagabe Kli 8. When it comes to the Kli Cheres, remember we were talking about Kamotzi Zayit, and then we said you'd have to be miyached it for something else. So after the Zayit, the next year of Yichud would be if you're miyached it to serve nuts in. If it starts leaking nuts, you could be miyached it to serve rimonim in. But that wouldn't be automatic because these things are not choshev enough. Mashing, when it comes to a kelim of eights, then it is choshev enough. Tosis even brings up, remember the whole mission about requiring three rimonim at a time in the thing, and it bothers him because he thinks it means three rimonim have to go through the hole. And as we explained before, it has to do with the pressure that's exerted in the kli to prevent the rimonim from coming out and so on. Okay, but this is not so much of our sugi. I just want to remind you of our kalim because I'm always nervous we won't get time. So I figure, okay, let's use the day's remes for kalim, at least for some chazara, right? There's always got to be a kalim. Anyway, the next case was Eretz Zeit Shemen. What does that mean? It's the land where all of the shiurim are in terms of olives. What do you mean all of the shiurim? You just gave me this whole business about a list of other things. I mean most of the shiurim. You're talking about dam, chelev, pigel, neiser, nevela, chazer, the din of oil ames, basar ames, and so on and so forth. And we've got dozens of things that are kizayis. Sort of the standard is a kizayit. Okay, and then what's dvash? Well, dvash doesn't mean honey, like bee honey. Dvash is a reference to the date, and that's kikotevet agasal yom kippurim. What's the shear of eating that is b'chayev yom kippur that is required to be a kedei sviya as opposed to normal kezayit, because the idea is the nefesh asher lo tu'uneh. And therefore, the shear is a nice, juicy date, kikotevet agasal. Anyway, but look, it's psukim, man. What are you telling me it's halacha l'moshe b'Sinai? Oh, I love the way you read all of that information in these psukim. A chita means a guy who's walking into a bayis hamenuga, and he's wearing his clothes, and he's sitting around eating chumus, and he's not on his computer. All of that's in the pasuk. I mean, that's a pretty magical pasuk you got over there, man. I mean, so, v'tisbra, I mean, does it say any of that stuff in the pasuk? Shirim michtav k'tivi. What does it say in the pasuk? It just mentions the mean. Obviously, the main information over here is in terms of halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, v'yasmechina rabbanan akroi, And the Rabbanit said, look, in this pasuk is merumas all of those in Yonah, but I still certainly need that halacha l'moshe miSinai. The next thing you said were that chatzitza for tefillah is, the makor of it is halacha l'moshe miSinai. That's not true. Chatzitzin are they certainly not diorite? Of course they're diorite, adichtiv. V'rachatz et kol bisoro. What does it in kol bisoro mean? It doesn't say v'yavo b'mayim, like it says in other cases. It says, make sure you got every little bit of that skin inside the water. So that means shelo yedavar chotzeitz ben bisoro l'mayim. I mean, that's what it says in the pasuk. That there's no drusha. And then it says l'mayim. That's the b'mayim. It's l'mayim into the particular type of mayim. And that would be the me mikvah, which are all in one place. Note, it doesn't say anything about mayim chayim. It just would be into the water that's standing there. And then it said, not just bisoro, it said kol bisoro. Now, that seems to imply that all of that busser of yours has got to get under the water at the same time. And that would be mayim shekol gufo oleh bahem. And the chachomim were mishayer. What is the standard size of a box that you could fill with water that you could then put a human into? How much would that be? Well, the amount of water that would cover the human would be an ama al ama barum shalosh amot. So 1 by 1 by 3 would cover your body, which means that the chachomim, therefore, were mishaer, that the amount of water that would get into that area is precisely arba im sa'a. So that's how we came out with the arba im sa'a. But anyway, you said that it's not based on the pasuk, and I just showed you that it is based on the pasuk. Yeah, it's based on the pasuk, but you would not know without the halacha that your hair is going to be a problem if it has got a chatzitza. And that halacha l'moshe miSinai comes to tell me that din about your hair, like Rabba Bar Avuna. The Omer Rabba Bar Avuna, nima achat kishura chutzetzet. If you've got a single hair that is tied on itself, that prevents the entry of water, and that is considered to be a chatzitza. Now, I mean, obviously we have to analyze how much area it covers, but that we'll see later. But if you've got 3 hairs that are tied together, they cannot tie sufficiently tightly in such a way that would prevent the entry of water, because of that einan chotzetzot. If there's 2, I was not mekabel that halacha and eini yodea. But I do know that 1 is definitely a chatzitza. So that's what I need the halacha l'moshe miSinai for. No, excuse me. I know about hairs also from that same pasuk. It's a diorita, the Tanya. V'rachatz et. What do you think et means? Now, what is it? Rachatz kol bisoro. Et always means some affiliated and secondary thing. What is et to your actual flesh? The tafel bisoro. That refers to hair. Yeah, true, true, true. But I still need halacha l'moshe miSinai because it doesn't say how much. So kiata yochata, the din of the halacha l'moshe miSinai, comes to define the nature of a mechitza as requiring a rov that somebody is makbid on. And therefore, the halacha is coming to teach me the din of rov versus miut, and the din of makbid on the mechitza versus chatzitza versus somebody who's not makbid on the chatzitza, as Rabbi Yitzchak pointed out. Adam Rabbi Yitzchak. As far as the diuraisa is concerned, that is to say, the halacha l'moshe miSinai is concerned, Rubo umakpid alav chotzeitz. The only thing that is considered to be a real chatzitza in your tefillah is something that is not going to be viewed by you as having washed your flesh. So, if it covers most of your body or most of your hair, and it's also something which you don't want on you and you would normally remove. I mean, like, obviously, if you're a shoeshine boy, it's ridiculous to say you don't want the shoeshine material on you. That's like what you're in all day long. You never wash that off. So that's not something that you're going to be makbid on, and that suddenly would say, oh, my gosh, I didn't wash my hands because I didn't get rid of all of the black from the polished. It's ridiculous. You don't even look at that. You don't even notice that. Now, that would be true on anything that is not important to you. So, I mean, there's no limit to what would be considered a chatzitza if we're saying it has to be actual epidermis that you're touching, and it can't be anything at all. It can't be any dust that's invisible. It can't be any type of residual polish or whatever. So, of course, the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai is the only way that something's a real chatzitza is it makes a difference to you, and that's an individual determination, and it also covers your rov. But if it would be a miut, or it'd be something that you're not makbid on, then eino chotzeitz. Come along the Rabbanan, and they were gozer, that if something covers most of your body or most of your hair, even though you're not makbid on it, it's a chatzitza. Why did they make that gezerah? Because rov is similar to the rov that is a chatzitza, that is to say, the rov that you're makbid. They were also gozer on the miut that you are makbid, because the hakpada is something that is similar to something that would really be a chatzitza, namely the rov that you would be makbid on. So because of that, if you have one of the two factors, midarabbanan, either one of the two factors is a gzeira because of the other factor. Ask the Gemara, well, I mean, once you're doing that, shouldn't you be gozer on a miut, even though you're not makbid on it, because there is a miut that is, at least midarabbanan, that is a chatzitza, that is to say, a miut that you would be makbid on. Or we should be gozer or on that because of the rubo she'eno makbid. No, we never do that. He goofed gzeira. I mean, even if you would end up having that, it would only be a problem of a derabbanan. So anan nekum anigzer gzeira le gzeira. We're not going to do that. Okay, that is therefore determined. There are most of the dinim, you're right, are based on the pasuk. However, the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai that he was referring to is talking about rubo and miuto, and makbid and eino makbid. Next question. You said that mechitzot are halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Mechitzot are d'oraita. The Omamar, Aron Tisha, analyze how high the Aron was. Well, it was obviously, if it's a Amma and a Chetzi, that equals one Amma is six, and a Chetzi is three. Last I heard, 3 + 6 = 9. The Kaporet added an additional Tefach, and that gives us 10 Tvachim to the point where the Shechina appeared on the top of the Aron to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. And since we have the raya from the pasuk Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem that the Shechina was never yored to the Oretz, literally Oretz Nitan Livnei Adam, that must mean that 10 tefachim is considered to be a separate rishus. Once I know that 10 tefachim is a separate rishus, that is the very definition of the nature of a mechitza. A mechitza separates out what the Torah views as plank space. So that space is in units of 10 tefachim. And because of that, the mechitza is obviously also going to be that which sets aside that distinction. So why do you tell me that I don't know that from the pasuk and I only know it from halacha l'moshe b'Sinai? Well, I meant according to Rabbi Yehuda, because getting back to the problem of the 6 tefach amma versus the 5 tefach amma, we run into problems on Libet Rebbe Yehuda. Because Rebbe Yehuda said anything that was built using the standard 6 tefach amma. However, the amat kelim, when we came to measure the size of the kelim, such as, of course, the amma of the Oren. So when we're building the Oren, we used an amma bat chamisha. In which case, what was the height of the Oren? Was an amma v'chetzi, meaning 5 + 2.5, which is 7.5. The additional tefach of the kaporas is 8.5. Nothing to do with 10 tefachim. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, how would we know the din of 10 tefachim at all? Therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would need the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. And the Rabbi Meir, the amma kol ha'amot ayuba beinoniot, ma'ikel ha'meimah. So, I mean, come on. I mean, you're making a statement like that. You're telling me it's halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. I mean, that's not a matter of opinion between the size of a 6 and a 5 amma. I mean, that's a fundamental din in the Torah. Does halacha l'moshe b'Sinai cover the din of mechitzas or not? I mean, it must mean something, even according to Rabbi Meir. It does. It just doesn't mean what you think it means. It means the dinim of mechitzas, those dinim of mechitzas, not in terms of the measurements, but in terms of the special halacha l'moshe b'Sinai that give you the right to virtualize mechitzas. We got a lot of very strange halachas in which invisible mechitzas are usable mechitzas. And that's a new din that is given as halacha l'mashim Sinai. And that includes the din of god. It includes the din of lovud. And it includes the din of dofen akuma. So dofen akuma we spoke about yesterday. We were talking about how to measure in amot. The dofen akuma, you recall, is where you had your schach in the middle of your living room, and the distance between the schach and the vertical wall of your living room was less than arba amot. That's okay, even though, wait, where's the wall? It turns out that the ceiling is a curved wall, virtually, and that in actuality, that vertical wall of your living room extended all the way up to the schach, even though you don't notice. And then, of course, we have all of the famous cases of lavud, where lavud means anything that is within three of tvachim of something else is halachically attracted to that thing. And it's as if there's a force field between those two things. And because of that, you can make a mechitza out of a couple of wires. As long as they're close enough together, they may be invisible wires. You know, so you take these nylon wires and you stretch them within three tefachim of each other, and you've got a whole mechitza to build your sukkah with. Wow. So that's considered to be useful only because of halacha l'mashmi Sinai called lovud. We had, of course, lovud in terms of the din of what's considered to be on the ground, l'gabe Shabbos, and whether it's considered to be munach and things like that. A lot of issues of lovud, and it appears in terms of the schach as well. And what about good? Well, so we haven't met good yet. There's two types of good, and good are ways to bring things down, and the way we, or up for that matter. So you may have something that is a useful mechitza, but it doesn't go as high as you want it to go. So let's say the standard things that people do with their sukkahs is they'll have a mechitza of asura tvachim, but the sukkah may be, you know, five times that high. So you'll say, well, so then the wall never got to the sach. Not true. We lifted up the wall virtually by extending the force field of the wall, which is called good. So that would be a one type of good. We have good asik, which means lifted up. And then we have the exact opposite, where we've got a mechitza, but it's in the air and it doesn't come all the way down. So that is a different type of good. We can utilize that same force field to bring the field down, and that is good achit. So the two types of good, dofen akuma, lovud, and we'll see what other strange, interesting things are involved in virtuals. We talked about yesterday the idea of klosh and other things coming up. But in terms of dinim of mechitza particularly, these are the dinim of mechitza, which are halacha, l'meshe mi Sinai.